Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Amen. Shout glory. Come on, rejoice. Glory. Hallelujah. Welcome someone to your left and to your right. Say welcome to church. Drop a compliment. If the person is not smiling, tickle the person. Hallelujah. Well, how you all doing? Thank you, Jesus. How's the series on the Holy Ghost for you? Awesome, right? You know, there's something. Will you permit me today to speak freely? And no matter what direction the word comes, you know I love you. Some of you are like, we know that sound. We know what's about to come. No, that's not true. Amen. But do you permit me, everybody? Amen. You won't feel like I'm speaking directly. Because here's the thing with when I preach like this. Once people hear things that resonate with them, they will think I had them in mind when I was saying it. They will not say that pastor used to preach about what's going on in the church. No. Amen? Do we agree? All right. You know, one of the most painful things for me as a pastor, and for many other pastors, I'm sure that, you know, if you ask other pastors, they'll tell you the same. And especially when it comes to teachings like this, is that when I do teachings like this, the people who really need it never come to church that day. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The people who really need it never show up. And in some way, that's a terrible pattern. Actually, it's a sign that the devil is not only working, but he has taken charge. Do you know what I'm saying? How is it possible that every teaching that corrects your approach to God, you don't show up for it? You know, where I come from, they will say someone is running after you. Some people, special people, are running after you. Amen. You know, but it's a very sad reality I found that I've noticed when it has to do with something like this, the people who need it the most are never present to even hear it. But today, I pray that these words will change your life forever. You know, sometimes some people don't understand that some of us have been pastoring for a bit, just a tiny bit. So we've seen lots of experiences. And so when we preach the word to you, same words we preach to others, and we've seen results maybe 3, 4, 5 different times. The problem now is not the word. The problem is you. You know, you've not heard a pastor that's blaming you. I'm blaming you. Because sometimes the word, everything can be viable. A church can do everything right. It's always very surprising that like people who really need it are not here. But my prayer today is that by the grace of Jesus, I have the right words to communicate what God wants me to communicate to you today. And by that same grace, your heart is open to receive it with meekness and joy in the name of Jesus. And for every member of the congregation, I'm choosing my words rightly because I've taught you what it means to be a member of the church, right? You can be in the congregation, but not in the church. And so for every member of the congregation, that God uses these words to shape your heart and to bless your life. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Amen. So we're going to be continuing our teaching series, very long one, called what? The Thought Feed. This is the third mini-series or fourth mini-series in the Thought Feed series. So it's been a very long one. And I think my goal in the end will be that if anybody joins our church for the first time, we can give them the Thought Feed series and they can be caught up on everything a new believer needs to know to be up to speed in their walk with God. Would you say this series has been able to do that for you? Would you say that? Do you strongly agree? All right. And so we've spoken about amazing grace, talking about the gospel, understanding salvation in depth. I want to beg you, if you're listening to this, go catch up on that teaching, every single part. After that, we spoke about attitudes of a learner in between it as well. We spoke a lot about that. What is critical for you to know as a learner? And we said the believer would always be a learner. No matter, even I'm still a learner. Amen? And I have an attitude of a learner. Funniest thing is that my own attitude of learning is still sharper than some of you. But it's the truth. No matter who is teaching, I take notes. Amen? You can see. Do you know the funniest thing? Sometimes what they are teaching is my notes. But you know why I still take notes? Because I know that the faintest pen is sharper than the sharpest memory. And the amount of times I write it, it helps my recollection. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Every sermon I teach you, I rewrite. I will leverage sometimes on things I've taught before. But you know why I write it? I could pick up an old sermon and just say, you know what? But because I have to refresh my own mind too. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I bring my Bible to church. Show me your Bibles, everyone. You thought I would not catch it. Some of you, you thought we've forgotten that practice. People say, you know, I'll be angry. You probably be coming to this church for how long now? Where's your Bible? Amen. Now, and I'm saying that jokingly, but I'm very serious. I still have a very good attitude. I was at a meeting recently, and I can show you my note of everything I wrote. Everything I wrote in every session. Are you following me? Uh-huh. I sat in front. I didn't enter any session late. Did you hear what I said? I was there at least. Except the first one when we got late, which I got there on like at the time they were starting. For every other session, I was there at least 30 minutes before the meeting started. I was seated. When they did 5-minute countdown, I was already there. Amen? Uh-huh. Something called the attitude of a learner. And then after that, we spoke about what? The Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. What a powerful teaching. See, if you ever need help, and you go and listen to that series. It would sharpen you on the kind of relationship you should have with the Spirit. And today, we're going to be talking about what? Fruitful. Fruitful. Being full of fruits. Funny story, I told the designer to design like a treasure. And then he actually put fruits in the hand of somebody glowing. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why is this supposed to be a treasure? I said, fruits can be treasure. I'm like, bro, just put a chest there. Amen? But fruitful, and the whole goal is that you're able to bear fruits. Say, I'm full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Can you say that like you believe it? Say, I'm full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Can you say it as much as you want it to be a reality? God bless you for continuing to say it. You know now, the amount of time you strike it can be how you discomfit your enemies. Say, I'm full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And just as a way to remind you, I've told you that you must take this series very seriously because it will likely cover the most important things you need as a believer. And so today is a good time to check. Have you been a good student? If you've listened to every single one in the Thought Fit series, raise up your hand. If you've missed one, raise up your hand. Two, raise up your hand. Three, raise up your hand. Four, raise up your hand. I can't even recollect, raise up your hand. Amen. Today's a good time to check. Have I done very well? Have I been a good learner? And the reason why this is important is because your life depends on it. Your growth depends on it. God doesn't want you to be immature. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God doesn't want you to be what? God's will is that you grow. Open your Bibles very quickly. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 25. Philippians chapter 1 verse 25. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. And being... Come on. Are you in church today? Are you in church today? All right, let's read together. One, two, go. I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Who is speaking here? The Apostle Paul. Who is he speaking to? And this story started from, you know, verse 1 of Philippians 1. But just for context sake, I want us to read verse 21. Or should we start from 21? Yes, 21. Let's start there. Everybody read together. One, two, go. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul is saying that if I'm alive, I am living for Christ. If I'm dead, it is gain because I'm going to be with Christ. Meaning all that matters in my life is who? Come on, can you say that all that matters in his life is who? And I can preach a whole sermon about priority from there. Preach a whole sermon about how you're living your life and the most important thing in your life. But the emphasis I want to make today is what he says next, or what he says later. Next verse, what does he say, everybody? One, two, go. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. What is he saying? He's saying that if I stay alive, this would mean fruit from my labor, meaning that the things that I'm laboring upon, I can see fruits in the disciples. Amen? He says, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Next verse, what does he say, everybody? One, two, go. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And who is the you there he's talking about? The church. The church in Philippi, but by extension, you. What is he trying to say? That as a pastor, as a preacher, his staying, his continuing is beneficial for the church. And we can extract from this that any believer who has a ministry gift, who is continuing with him or her for their progress and joining the faith, will definitely experience growth. It's needful. You need to be taught. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? And then he says something next, very important, verse 25. Everybody read together, want to go. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Hallelujah. He's saying, I'm confident that if I stay with you, I'm confident that if any pastor stays with you, any proper ministry gift stays with you, you would experience what? Progress. Say progress. The Greek word there is what? Prokope. It means advancement. There is such a thing as advancement in the faith. And the second thing that you experience is what? Joy of faith. Meaning, growth is measurable. Did you hear what I said? Growth in the faith is measurable. There is something called progress, meaning you can advance in the faith. You have to understand, yes, you've been saved 15 years, but it doesn't mean you've experienced advancement. You can be wise in age, but immature in God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can be old in age, but a babe in Christ. Have you seen people in their
30s, 40s, and some of their ideas of God, you are like, you need to be rethought. You're even like, maybe we're not serving this. It doesn't sound like the same God we're serving. Have you heard ideas on some people? You know, they will tell you, oh, all of us, Shango, Obatola, is the same God we're worshiping. You are no man. That's not the Christian faith. Amen? It's not. And so you can hear people who are supposed to be wise in age, being in church, you know, being in church is different from growing. Are you listening to me? Being in church is different from growing. So you can be in church, you know, the funniest thing is that I will even take somebody that even shows up. Because at least one day, God can touch your heart. And that's what I envy about the older generation. Nobody negotiated going to church on Sunday. Nobody. It's baffling what I'm saying today. I was listening to a seminary podcast recently, and you know, the guy said he grew up in a Christianized state in the US. So there were states that were founded. So the idea is that the majority of the people in your neighborhood are believers. They might be nominal, they might not go to church, but they fear God and they identify as Christians at least. But now it's the opposite. And the problem is that even those that know who God is are behaving as though they don't. You have to understand that if you're not in service, there's an itch you should have. Do you know? An itch you should have. Do you know the funniest thing? If you even miss worship, you've not had the service experience. You know, that's why sometimes I come here, I have to do another worship session for some of you because I know you came late. So I can even decide that we'll pray so that the praise and the worship and the prayer that you thought you missed, we'll do it again. Amen? Because those things are critical. If you put some people in a 1 hour worship session, they won't know what to do. You know what I'm talking about. Is this true or not? They won't know what to do. And the funniest thing, you can't even press deeper than your surrounding. Am I preaching today? So you are in an atmosphere of worship. Someone is rolling on the floor worshiping. You're like, Awin, what are you feeling that I'm not feeling? What are you feeling that I'm not feeling? And so now let me tell you this. These same people then begin to blame the church they went to that, oh, I didn't feel the worship. It's not the worship, it's you. It's you. Because if you can't get past your own mind and the first layer of concentration, worship can never touch you. You can't. When you experience growth, you get to a point where it does not matter. You know, I grew up in, let me tell you the church I grew up in, the Apostolic Church. Brother to Christ Apostolic Church. Keyboard is nice. But when Uncle Tunde did not come to church, how will we worship? His hand though. Just three beats. One, two, three. See, then lyrics will matter to you. Lyrics would matter to you. Just those three. One, two, just to keep us on tempo. Once we have tempo and we sing, that's it. And that's how I grew. I grew up watching men sweat to just singing to God. Just remaining there, enjoying it, worshiping God. Do you know the funniest thing? You might think this man, we will know that we've spent long here. Sometimes, you don't even have to feel it. But you know it's not a waste. The things you do in devotion and prayer, I heard that recently. Don't, even if you think you're wasting time now, they count in your future. It's an investment that you would always need. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's an investment you always need. There's a sharpening it does in you. There's something it does in your spirit. It's not ordinary. It's spiritual. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's spiritual. And so, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that God has a growth priority for the believer. What did I say? For the believer. And why I'm showing you this, and everything I'm saying will just be random words until you understand the importance of growth in the faith. Because your results are highly dependent on your level of growth. What did I say? You know, I gave this example on Thursday. If you give a toddler a $100 bill and a page of coloring book, the toddler would most likely keep the page of the coloring book and throw away the $100 bill. Why? Because at that point in time, the toddler has no sense of value. Meaning that understanding of value is a mark of maturity or immaturity. In the Christian faith as well, the same thing. From the way we see what you value in your walk with God, we can tell if you're a baby in Christ or you're getting mature. Are you listening to me, somebody? But the good thing is that that sense of value can be taught. Did you hear what I said? That sense of value can be encouraged. Let me give you a better news. God has put a mechanism to help your sense of value inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What did I say? I said that sense of value can be taught. Can you say that? Say, God has put in me something to awaken a different sense of value inside of me. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. You know, everything I'm saying here, I shouldn't be saying now, because you've heard before. But he's saying, you've come to need milk instead of solid food. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by the reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There are some things that in the Christian faith you should not be encouraged to do because you should already know. Do you know that it's a problem that we are telling Christians to come to church? That's what he's saying. You are needing milk when we should be discussing more important things to help your walk with God. When we should be talking about nations, you are needing milk. When we should be talking about souls, we're still talking about, oh, you should come to church today. Oh, why didn't you come yesterday? Oh, someone told me, why didn't you come? I went to shop. The fact that you can even tell your pastor that is the... Amen? You know me. Unapologetic preaching. I will tell you the truth. Hallelujah. I would rather that we have quality men than quantity without substance. That's why I will chase your growth. You know me. I will call you... Hallelujah. Quality. Quality. Please, are you following me, somebody? So, there are some things we shouldn't be repeating. Just recently, I spoke about worship. Do you remember? Participating in worship. We've soon forgotten. So, here's the problem. When you practice what I taught you, was your worship experience not better? Then you've soon forgotten. So maybe this is a cue for you to know that you have to be more studious than you are right now. Because if you reviewed your notes more, you would have reminders of these things. If you practice them, you would still be practicing those things today. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It says by use of their senses, they are able to discern good and evil. By now, you should be able to discern when there's something wrong with your walk with God. Do you know? The times when most believers or many believers have issues with their friends is when the devil is already at work and there's lukewarmness at play. That's when you'll be angry that someone called you to come to church. That's when you'll be angry when you are corrected. Because you know, if your heart was in the right place and someone should correct you that, oh, you didn't do this, you say, oh, that's true. I'm going to do it. But you already know that you are faulting, you are apathetic towards the things of the Spirit. Then someone says, oh, you did not come to church. And you're like, church, do you want to kill us? Listen, there are some excuses that when you give, you should go home and retreat. There are some things that when you say, it should be a symptom to you that there's a bigger problem. Are you learning something today? There's a bigger problem. There's a way that you can act in a week. Some types of song that you can tolerate to listen to. Some things that you can, and you will know that we need to pause here. Something is definitely at work. But the problem is that some of us have lived perpetually in a state that does not make us able to discern with our senses good and evil. So again, you're needing milk. Whereas, and maybe you're listening to me online and you're in this Windsor. And you know I've told you about this online thing. You know, because I must address it. This church as a congregation will fill the chairs to the back. But in membership, where are they? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In commitments to growth. Because that's what we're doing here. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I didn't plan to. This happened to coincide with what God told me to teach you today. So, collect it together. Amen. I didn't know how many people be in church or not. I already planned to say this, but in a softer way. But it seems like you need it in a other way. Hallelujah. And so in this context, the writer was speaking to Jews who had long been in their knowledge of God, but were still immature. They were untrained. And so he's making distinction between milk and solid food. And so he called them babes, he called them children, he called them immature people in the faith. I don't like rankings in the faith, but there are in growth. Amen? There's babe and there's mature. In between, as long as you're putting the work, don't worry. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please, are you learning something today? So this captures the need for growth in God. After you're saved, I've said it time and time again, the next most important thing is what? Revelation knowledge. You must know. You must be taught. Do you permit me to use you as an example? Do you permit me? Okay. So, because the problem is solved. You know, he told me something last week. You know, and he said he wanted to pray in tongues when he got to church. And then he felt awkward for a bit. And then he continued to pray in the understanding. And all of a sudden, he didn't know when he switched to tongues. And he started praying in tongues all through. And he said, why? Can it be that because I've not practiced it enough, it looks like I'm losing it? I said, yes. Yes. Because if you're not in an association that stirs you up enough to walk, it's a gift of the Spirit, isn't it? So like every other gift of the Spirit, word of knowledge, where if you don't practice it, you might not be able to function effectively in it. Same for tongues. You stop praying in tongues, you lose expression of it. Are you see what I'm trying to say? And so, sometimes you have to understand that coming to church many times is not only just to hear the word, it's for soul maintenance. It's for soul maintenance. I know that church is like servicing. You know, you are servicing your spiritual vehicle. So, no, if I'm excited or not, no matter what side of the bed I woke up, I'm showing up because I know that I'm living better. So, this is not a negotiable in my walk with God. Because how else will I expect God to bless me if I don't show up in the place He blesses people? Are you learning something today? And so as I begin this new teaching series, there is something that every believer must value more than anything after salvation. And that's results. What did I call it? Results. Fruits. Oh, this is so important. Fruits. We rarely talk about it in our new churches, but it's critical. Fruits. Results. Fruits are like evidences of spiritual transformation. You know, I've told you before that when you got saved, works were not removed though. You know that, right? Some people say, oh, it's not by works. It's not by faith. So works does not count. They lie. Works count. Bah. Did you hear what I said? Say works count. Did you hear what I said? Say works count. Some of you are like, hey, is that not legalism? Sir, works count. That's why James will say, it was James, right? Yeah. James will say, faith without works is dead. Then he started describing everything people did in faith and showed you that it was works. That guy. So he said, yes, Abraham had faith, but his faith was substantiated by taking his only begotten son and he was about to kill him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So, yes, Abel had faith, but you could see that in the sacrifice that he brought. So, all the people of faith that you are talking about, he's saying faith is not faith until the direction of your life goes in the direction of expression that you have that faith. So, you are saved by faith, yes. Faith is in the heart, yes, but it will be evident that you have faith in the things that you do. So, works are not prerequisites for salvation, meaning works are not what gets you saved, but now that you are saved, the Bible said you will do what? Good works. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in him to do good works, meaning your forever disposition is works. Did you hear what I said? You will tell the person that I said you will do good works. Say you will work. Hallelujah. So, even though when we look at you, technically, the works that you do will not be the determinant of us knowing if you are saved or not, but it also can be a determinant of if you are saved or not. Meaning, Gandhi did good work. All these people did good works. But that does not mean they are saved. But it is also impossible for you to find it, or it should be impossible for you to find a believer that does not have good works. Meaning, works can be an evidence of your salvation. Did you hear what I said? So if you are not going to church, we have a reason to ask you, are you truly saved? Are you truly of us? If you're a perpetual liar, you say it's a white lie. Okay. You know, you think those things they told us when we were kids, you can steal. Some of you, all those things, you say, oh, it's not stealing now. Say it's my mommy's own. Did you tell her? Are you getting what I'm saying? So you say, no, now lie. So we have become a complete opposite of what we are saved into. It takes an intentional effort to break from what I'm telling you. Very intentional effort. Like, even I many times have to, you know, myself and my wife, I would usually tell her, I have to be very intentional to ensure that even when I want to keep a personal secret, I will not lie. It's hard. That one is very hard. So, but the fact that I have that mindset, so I had to make sure it was like that. So that the fact that I have that mindset will mean that even in natural situations when nothing is at stake, I don't have to lie. Because some people are already expert liars that when it does not even warrant a lie, they will lie. There's just a necessity to lie. Ah, how much did you buy the shoes? Oh, you were about to say, you know, oh, 1,000, it was into... You know, or you bought it 1,000, but you don't want people to know you are rich.
How much did you buy this shoe? Oh, it's not that expensive. You know, you see, that's not like, that's how they used to catch you. That, it's not that expensive. But you know what you are really trying to do is to say what it is not. Then you now go ahead and say, it's just 200. First thing I say, where do you buy it? You say, oh, I don't have the link anymore. You see, lie to cover lie. The, so one has told to two. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, don't you?
So it looks little, but what you're seeing is that you are not actually what we will call a good Christian man or woman. You're not. If we can't take your word and take your word to the bank and say, then you're not a good Christian. You're not. You're not. We should be able to take your word and say, he has given his word. He's a good... Can your neighbors say, he's a good Christian, whatever he says he will do? You know, that used to be the reputation of Christians before. But now, can your neighbors say, oh, they're good Christians? But no. Your house is the one disturbing the whole neighborhood. Even the unbelievers don't disturb people like you. Why are you laughing? No, it's the truth. So you have to watch, because now your character cannot get people saved, but your character can let them know what they are missing or what they are not missing. So your neighbor can say, oh, that Christian, I'm not missing anything. I've seen how my neighbor lives. Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? These things are critical, because that response, that character can be how we judge if truly there's a transformation that has happened in your soul. Because every day something has to be birthed out of that experience that has happened to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Fruits. So having spoken about salvation and the gifts of the Spirit, certain results must be birthed in you. The seed of your parents, for example, birthed in you what? Some resemblance. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you are born of God, the seed of God must birth in you some resemblance as well. That's what I'm trying to say. There must be some resemblance. At least you must be close to the holiness of God in whatever form, or striving to get there. Now the Bible then says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, fruits. I'm telling you, we need to talk about this more, especially in our generation. More. Christianity used to be a picture of modesty, a picture of, you know, but today it looks like we don't even care, which is a problem. I don't know who sold you this idea of live your life for you. Say, as long as I like it, as long as I feel good about it, no one else should be able to say something about it. You're not a Christian. Because Christians don't live for themselves. They have a Lord. So, does it please my Lord is the Christian response. Christians don't say things like that. As long as I feel good about it. As long as it pleases the Lord. Listen, I want to teach you something. Can we even change our conversations to be seasoned with blessings? Incorporate important things even into your conversations. The way you respond to certain things. You know, lots of learning I had to do, you know, as a pastor. But, you know, one day, I relate with everybody normally, and you know my heart, you know. But one day, I visited another pastor, and in one conversation, he said, God bless you almost 7 times. And I was like, what am I doing in my life? I'm not, because if me, I say God bless you, I know God will really bless you. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't take the words I speak lightly. But I'm like, What if I made it a habit to pronounce God's blessings more to my church, to the people around me? What if I made it a conscious effort to speak prayers? You say something is wrong with you before I just say, you know. What if I made a conscious effort to say, don't worry, God will take care of it, and say, stop. Do you really believe God? So I'm saying that the fruits that you can bear is to intentionally, because it's not that those things don't come to your mind. It's just that you think that it's too serious. Let me not bring it up. Let me not say it. They will look at me somehow. But you have to be the you. The fruit that you produce has to be evident in the way you live. You know, another way it shows is our love walk. How many of you have ever just really sat down at home and you just really honestly thought about something you had and you felt like someone in church might need it? But after that period, maybe you came the next day and like that feeling just left. Or you just had the nudge one day to just cook and bring it. But you thought of all the stress, who will I call? They might say they don't want it now. And then you even just wanted to hang out with people of your tribe, of your family. And you just felt like, if I put it on the group chat now, it's going to just get messy. And then you didn't do it. And then the next day, the feeling was not there anymore. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So, in a lot of times, it means that you've gotten leadings and nudges of the Spirit, fruits of your righteousness, of your salvation, but you've not let them find expression. That's the problem. You might just have a nudge. Call so-so-so person. I know people who God just gave them a nudge to call somebody, and the person was in need at that time of help. In this church, I was able to help. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So, there are fruits. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. We're going to read together, everybody. Are you learning something today? Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. If then you were raised with Christ, of God, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Hallelujah. By now, everybody here should understand what it means to be raised with Christ, right? Do you remember that? And just in case there are some who don't know, when you got saved, there was a spiritual operation that tied you back to everything that Christ did on the cross. You were not there when he died, but his death accrues to you. You see what I'm saying? His death is efficacious for you. You owe the debt you couldn't pay. Christ paid a debt he didn't owe. Are you listening to me, somebody? So today you claim that your debt is paid, but how? Well, there's an operation of the Spirit that ties you to the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. So in the Spirit, when you got saved many years into the future, a spiritual oppression happened that tied you back to the moment Jesus died and put you in his place. That when he died, it was reckoned that you died with him. What's the wages of sin? Death. So you needed to die for your sins to be paid. So when he died, it was reckoned that you died with him. You were buried with him. And then when he rose, it was reckoned that what? You rose with him. Meaning the old you died. So at that point you said, or in your heart you responded, I believe. That guy, that old guy before, was taken back to that time and nailed on that cross. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Nailed on that cross was a spiritual experience. It happened in a split second for you, but in the Spirit, it was a long time. Amen? Taken to that time, nailed, and then a new you emerged. So, Paul here is mind-blowing. He was about to correct them about their character. But the first thing he started to say is, if you were raised with Christ, meaning if you are saved, meaning if truly the old man is dead, If truly you are a new creation, not only is just that body dead, your affections, your desires have been changed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So, it would be counterintuitive to ask a man who is dead to do things that living people do.
Are you learning something today?
It will be counterproductive to tell an unbeliever, set your affections on things above. He's a dead man. He can't. But now he's stuck. He says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things above, because now you can.
Are you see what I'm saying?
Seek the things that are above. Do the right things. Respond the right way. Say the right things.
Are you listening to me, somebody?
It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Everybody read verse 5 together. 1, 2, go. Therefore, put to death in your members which are on the earth fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, we don't pay attention to that. He said covetousness is idolatry. Meaning if you're desiring something that belongs to someone beyond a natural proportion of just, you know, like, but you would rather, you know, that's covetousness. It goes further than just I like what you're wearing and I appreciate that you have it. It's far beyond ordinary. You will do anything to get that thing, even if it means that person not having it. It's beyond. It's not being content. But he calls it idolatry because something else should be your satisfaction. But now you are willing for something else to. So idolatry is that something is taking the place of God in your life. That's the meaning of idolatry. You've used something to replace what God should. So something else has become the God of your life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? For some, it's money. Money is the most common God of many people's lives. Verse 6, what does he say? He says, because of these things, Do you see that name I showed you that last time? Sons of disobedience. Verse 7, what does it say? Everybody wants to go? Wants what? Where do you live in them? Verse 8. Do you see that? You've what? Put off. Say, I put off. That's why it can be found in you. I put off malice, anger. This is for the same reason why I would always tell people that mood swings should not even be common in believers. You know, we've been taught in such a way that we always take these things as part of who we are. And once you name something, it has become yours. You might actually experience times when you're happy and you're sad and there's a reason. But once you put a name to it, you possess it. So you say, I have mood swings. You just possess something that might not have even been that. So I've noticed that we like, you know, it's like in this part of the world, we're very proud of it. You know, I'm dyslexic. I have ADHD. You know, ADHD bar. Okay, nice. You know, we've possessed it. You know, like, oh, why didn't you come, bro? You know, I have anxiety and stuff now. Like, you keep possessing this thing. Like, you've just accepted it is who I am. So,
Instagram. ADHD bio on Instagram, you put it. Dyslexic but winning.
Do you have to put it there? Then you make your whole page about it.
Content creation. A day in the life of a dyslexic.
What is wrong with you?
A day in the life of somebody with ADHD. You know, I be squeezing paper. It's a lie.
What? So you've possessed it so much that even when it's not there, you've already arranged your life in that way. So that's who you will be. Are you getting what I'm saying today? So we should stop possessing the wrong thing. So now, I was going somewhere with mood swings. Now, there are genuine cases of actual mood swings and people who are going through stuff and need help. There are. But I think 70% of the people are not. We all get sad, but we choose to be happy. You have to understand, there's a path you can choose. The moment you decide it, you say, not today, bro. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But there's a path that can be genuine. And there's a path that takes a process. Some people have gone so far into this thing that it takes a conscious effort to begin to see. So I'm trying to say, he says, put away anger, malice. Some people, is anger that is disguising as mood swing. Someone, you are walking and someone or something just offended you. So you are just angry. Angry with the world. Angry with everybody. But I'm trying to show you that he's saying you can put it off. You have to know this for it to be possible. You know, if you don't believe that something can be gone, it won't go. There are people who struggle with things that they don't believe can live. But the moment you believe that it can go, so I'm trying to tell you that there is already a mechanism in place that has unseated that habit. Unseated. Listen, I want to tell you how to work with the things of the Spirit. A lot of us think that the things of the Spirit start first at evidence. No. They start first at actual transformation. The actual stuff happens in the Spirit first. How best can I, what example can I, you know, does it happen to you maybe in your car, your indicator light says, your dashboard says your tire is down, but you've actually filled it, but it's still saying the tire is down, because until it moves, it will recalculate. Are you see what I'm trying to say? So, filling that tire up is actually like what the Holy Spirit did. He solved the problem. What you now need to do is to walk from the place of the knowledge. So if you drive a bit and it's still there, you're like, something is off. Do you see what I'm saying? So you will continue to say, okay, after a while, I'm sure. So because there's a knowing, you wouldn't attempt to drive if the problem had not been solved. This is what I'm trying to say. So there's a knowing. So it must come first. And what I'm trying to show you is that there is a knowing already that the Holy Spirit has unseated those habits. That is like, unless, if Paul is telling you to put off, it's like telling a dead man to do something that living people do. But because you've been made alive, he has unseated it. So now he can now tell you, put off. So he has done the work spiritually. He has changed your desires. There's a transformation that has occurred. Now we can say, put off. Tell the person beside you, say, put off. So for that reason, you can control the outcomes. You can control your desire. You can control your reactions. You can control your affections. You can. You used to react in the wrong way, get angry and stuff like that. You can control your reaction now. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has changed your desires. Are you listening to me, somebody? Oh, I wish I had time. When you get home, read Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Now that the Spirit has come, it says, but the fruits of the Spirit, verse 22, everybody want to go? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kai. So the Holy Spirit has produced these results in you. What you need to do is put it to work. Put it to work. Oh, joy? Joy? You know, you think, I'm still got joy in chaos. But when chaos comes, you don't have joy. So do you think it's just a confession? You know, joy isn't happiness. It's not. Happiness can move around. Joy is different. You can choose joy. In the middle of the storm, you can choose joy. You can be going through the hardest time of your life. And you can say, I can either choose to be crippled by fear or choose joy. And choosing joy does not mean that the fear will not come into you at some times or what you're going through won't come in. It's that you just choose that's not what I will focus on today. You know what I'm saying? I was about to tell a story about you, but now I don't remember the story. Do I remember? You know the story. I think I once advised you about something, yeah. And I think there was a day where something was about to cripple her, and I told her, I said, if you let this thing, you will just be sad throughout today, throughout tomorrow, and there is nothing you can do about it to solve it. So why not just choose joy and let the outcome come when it comes? Do you see what I'm trying to say? So sometimes we cripple ourselves for things that we can't change. You are expecting a result from, the most you can do is pray. Do you want to go and beat them up and collect the result? Listen, so you can either choose to be, oh my God. Or I choose joy today. I choose joy. Listen, it's not easy, but you have the fruit of the Spirit as joy. It's already inside of you. So if you decide peradventure that you want to choose it, then you'll see the results. It's easier for you than random people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the Holy Spirit inside of you ought to bear certain types of fruits. So there are fruits that must be evident. You know, let me show you the trans. Oh my God, I wish I had more time today. Jeremiah 31:31. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Next verse, what does it say? Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Next verse, what does he say? He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws inside them, in their minds. What did they have before? They had the law externally. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Externally. God said, I will put my law in their mind. So, the Old Testament folks, when they needed to do good work, they, for fear, God, don't kill us, please. We've seen your law. God then said, I will take those laws that were supposed to be regulations for you. I will put it inside of you. Now it will be a regulator. Now it will become a part of you. I would exchange your desires with my will. I would exchange your personal ambitions with what I want. I will put something in you that would facilitate affection, desires, reactions, responses. Are you getting what I'm saying? That would facilitate that. He says, and write it on your heart. He says, I will be their God. And what? The problem is that a lot of you are still acting like these are regulations, whereas it's a regulator in your spirit. It says, not ever will any man tell his neighbor, know the Lord, because they would all know me. Meaning, nobody should have to tell the next person, come to church. Because the law is written in everybody's heart. This means that if you so choose that God should be the most important thing in your life, He has given you a mechanism that will sponsor it. The real work has been done. Your desires have been changed. You just need to lean in just a bit and watch the Holy Ghost take over. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, those are the fruits that are inside of you. He has done it. This is why I'm saying that teaching is important, because I see lots of believers who are acting on these things like their regulations, whereas they need to understand first what has happened inside. The work starts inside. You can't force a man by introducing something from the outside, but it comes from within. Are you listening to me? Ezekiel 36:26. Say it comes from within. Woo! Say it comes from within. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody read together. I want to go. I will give you a new heart. Try. You have a new heart. Say, I have a new heart. You know, the problem I have is how to help you not just hear these words, but how to transform these words into your actions, your life. How to help you internalize this. God said, I will give you a new heart. So when I got saved, there was a heart transplant. Jesus. He says, I will take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So, the heart is used to talk about desires and all of the things in your heart. So, when I got saved, a heart change, a heart transformation. The best way to say it is a heart transplant happened. And now, because of this new heart, Jesus, I can do the things of God. I can live the life God wants me to live. Are you getting what I'm saying? Salvation, it's not just that Jesus died. Salvation is that you received a miracle of a changed heart, a transformed life. A different kind of seed was planted in you, an incorruptible seed that would bear a different kind of result. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, one of the most important things you see is an appetite change. Appetite change. Is that possible? An appetite change. And so, the man in Christ has his desires completely changed. And one of the characteristics of that change, one of the fruits, is joy. Say joy. No, but joy has many aspects. The particular one I'm emphasizing today is delight. Say delight. Paul says that you would experience progress and delight in the faith. The things of the Spirit will no longer be hard for you. Something inside of you will cause you to delight. This is why when you are not delighting, seek help. It means there's a problem there. Are you getting this? The way you desire the things of God can be proved to you if you have a spiritual problem or not. If you have a growth problem or not. I'll be able to finish it on Thursday. But at the very least, maybe as a way of introduction, I want to let you understand. My focus is to help you see that there are expected fruits that you have to bear as a believer. And we must see it. It's one thing to not know that something is wrong,
It's another thing to know that it is wrong. And now that you know that it is wrong, you can be facilitated by the infrastructure of the Spirit to choose the right thing. You are not helpless. Do you know that? You are not helpless. The Holy Ghost is many things, but is also the incorruptible seed that bears in you fruits of righteousness. So, my charge to you today is let it show. What did I say? Let it show. I don't think there would ever, or I would ever let it come to a point in my life where I would not choose God. And I want that to be your life. I want you to see. You know, you can build Christian and righteous habits. Yeah. You don't used to read Christian books before because you have the help of the Spirit. When you start, you just see, you just find joy. Christian videos. I don't know how, you know, but I've come to a point where if I'm not doing something that is of God, I know that there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So, before now, I would prefer watching videos. I'd rather watch a two-hour video than read a book. But then one time I figured that all the people who I want to be like read books. So I'm like, am I not shortchanging myself? I said, God help me. So, you know what I started doing? I started buying books. You know why? If I don't read it, it's not my money that is wasting. Do you see what I'm doing there? I started buying the books. When I started, I'll read one. I'll get tired. I'll drop it. The next month, I'm like, no, I want to build a reading culture. I'll start again. I'll go further. I'll stop. You see, it didn't come automatically. I'll stop. But one thing was consistent. The desire, because I knew what I wanted. And I knew it was going to be worth it. So, I was like, how do people get through books? I had disciples that would carry novel like this. Just finish it in weeks. So, I took a flight once. And I vowed that I'm not watching any movie on that flight. If I don't read that book, I will sleep. I know on long flights, there's a way that sleep can become depressing. You've slept so much that your eye, your head is spinning you. So I said, this book, we'll finish it. So I finished the entire book in that flight. Listen, that was the day my spirit unlocked to reading. Because I enjoyed it so much. I learned so much in the book. Now I don't fly without books. I'm always reading. If you visit my house, you see a small cross-section. Maybe by the time you visit me again, maybe end of this or next year, I'll have a full room of books. And I picked up reading not very long ago. Maybe some 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Because I would rather watch videos or have digital books. I also figured out another thing. I preferred to read physical books. You can try, but it didn't work for me. What am I trying to say? You have the help of the Holy Ghost. You can build new habits. And you can stop old habits. Rise to your feet, everybody. I want you to choose one thing or a couple of things that you want to build an appetite for. Something you don't want to be negotiable in your life. And I want you to pray now and say, as I pray now, I set my affections on these things to the point where it becomes a consistent part of my life. Begin to pray right now. As I pray now, I set my affections on these few things that are in front of me. I set my affections
it becomes a non-negotiable for me. Because I have the Holy Ghost, I can command my appetites. I can set my affections. I can control my delights. I delight in the things of God. I delight in the things of God. I delight in the things of God. I need you to pray. I need you to be intentional. I need you to speak out the words. I need you to be fervent. Make this time count. As I pray now. Shata leke perekete leka baria. Set your affection. This is a destiny matter.